Well, do open your Bibles at Exodus chapter 20. Here's you. Would be good if you could see a Bible, so do bend your pants again and say to them, "Mum, Dad, I want a Bible." And if you would like, there's also a sermon sheet for the children that will follow with the screen on the behind me, and that will help you in that. And if you'd like one of those, just raise your hands, and one of the stewards will happily go and grab some sermon sheets for the kids to fill in, or for adults. Suitable for that. So this morning we're going to continue our series of looking at how the Old Testament prepares us, points to the Lord Jesus. And we're going to see this today in the Ten Commandments. Now, that might sound a little strange. I mean, how do the Ten Commandments help us get ready for Jesus? What does a list of rules have to do with Jesus? Well, much. So we're going to begin by firstly thinking, God gives the Ten Commandments to Israel. God gives the Ten Commandments to Israel. See, often we think Old Testament, lots of rules which had to be obeyed in order for them to be saved. New Testament, Jesus comes along, no more rules, we believe in Jesus, we're saved. That's pretty much true of the New Testament, we do believe in Jesus and we're saved. It's not so much true about the Old Testament, as we'll see. See, actually, the Ten Commandments were a means of God's grace, of God's kindness, of His love to means of God's kindness, His love to the people of Israel. It's not how they were saved. And God underlines this point for us. Have a look, you see, have a look at the beginning of chapter 20. Have a look at verse 2 with me. As this is God speaking to the whole of Israel as they camp round Mount Sinai. And God is speaking to them. And He says this. He says, "I am the Lord your God." See what He's saying? He's saying to them, "You're already my people. I'm your God. You're my people." And He tells them what he's done for them. He goes on, He says, "Look, I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of slavery. In other words, I rescued you. I saved you. And you're my people. And I'm your God." And He's saved them and rescued them, not because of anything they had done. He saved them because of His mercy and kindness. And then in the Ten Commandments, He tells them what it means to be His people. He tells them what it is to be in relationship with them. He tells them, "Look, this is how you're to love me. This is how you please me. This is how you worship me." In other words, you see, He's speaking to them words of grace. He's giving them words of love. He's telling them, "This is how you please me. This is how you love me." He's telling them. It's a bit like in a family. Now, this is a bit of a risk, but we're going to go with kids. Are there things that you do that you know please your mum and dad? What are some of the things that you do to please your mum and dad, to make them happy? Don't feel shy. Not that scary. I know I've not been for 3 months, but it's silly. Yeah.
Tidy up your bedroom.
Brilliant one. Very good. Any others? It always pleases me. What about just obeying them?
Nah.
Parents, if your child obeys you, does it please you?
Yes.
Yes, it does. There's things that you do that please them. Are there things, children, that you do that you know don't please your parents? Yes. Disobeying them doesn't please them. Now, parents tell their children what pleases them and what doesn't please them. Because they love you. And they want you to be happy and they do what is best for you, but it's also because it is good. It is right. It's pleasing. And God says, look, this is how you please me. I love you. I'm your God. You're my people. This is how you please me. It's a means of grace. Because if you don't know how to worship God, if you don't know how to please Him, well, that's a problem. It's a problem because of who God is. God is holy. He's pure, perfect. We're not holy, and we can't just do things our way. We have to do things His way. See, Exodus chapter 19 has made that really very clear. Just have a look at Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. The people are at Mount Sinai. They've come. They've cleansed themselves. They've made themselves ready to hear God's word. And on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, and everyone in the camp trembled. It's a frightening thing to come before a holy God. And so you need to know how to please Him, how to love Him, how to worship Him. And God says, as your God, as your people, as my people, this is how it is. And so the Ten Commandments reveal, this is how you're to be my people. This is how you worship me. And in effect, it says this. You are to be utterly devoted to me and only me. The Ten Commandments, in effect, say you are to be utterly devoted to me and only me. What does it mean to be devoted? Anyone know? Sure. What does it mean to be devoted?
To give your heart to something.
To give your heart to something. Yeah, thank you. So I could speak of being devoted to my wife. I'm devoted to her. I love her. She's my wife. You can be talk about devoted to football team. Some of us are devoted. You know you're devoted to a football team. When your team lose, they don't buy people you want them to buy. They consist and persist in doing the same things that you wish they wouldn't. And you still follow them. And you know you can't follow any other team, even though you try. You have to keep going. You know, so your team loses 5-0 or something, you still follow. You're devoted to them. There's no other team for you. And God says that to worship me, to be my people, you are to be devoted to me. Every command makes this point. See, the very first command. What's the first commandment? Verse 3. What's the first commandment? Children. Those who think they're children. Or feel like children. No other gods before me. No other gods. You're devoted to me. What does the second commandment say? Children, verse 4. Josh. No, that's it. No images, no idols. Don't make anything because you're devoted to me. You are not to put anything before your love to me. You're not to bow down to anything. You are not to worship anything else. Only me, says God. Third commandment. See what he says? He says, do not misuse my name. Do not blaspheme. My name is to be so special to you, you're to be so devoted to my name, that you would not even dream of misusing it or using it as a swear word or in any way. And then there's to underline this devotion. Look how the commandments finish. Verse 17. You shall not covet your name. It's the only commandment that speaks about heart issues and desires. And God says you're not to covet, you're not to have anything in your heart, not to desire anything else, because you're devoted to me. You shouldn't be desiring anything, any person or any thing or any property, because you see, your desire of your heart is to be devoted to me and to me only. And all the other commandments that underline. So you have a day off. Fourth commandment, you remember the Sabbath. Why? To focus on me. To rest in me. You honour your parents. You, as a means of obeying me and being devoted to me, says God. He says that I put them there in authority over you, children. And you, in obeying them, are saying I'm devoted to God and his ways. Devoted to him. He says, look, don't murder. Because those who murder view themselves as kings over life, as if somehow they have the right to decide who lives and who doesn't. No, you're to be devoted to God. You're to entrust your life and the life of others to his will. You don't commit adultery. You're to be satisfied with the husband and wife that the Lord gave you. You're not to seek joy outside of what the Lord has determined. You're devoted to me. Just don't steal. Because that's failing to trust the provision God has given or will give. You're devoted to me. Don't lie. Because that's a means of getting your own way and doing things your way, and you're devoted to me. See, I'm rescued you. I loved you. I'm your God. That's what it means to worship me. Utterly devoted. Now, of course, these same commandments, whilst revealing our devotion to him, also reveal how we're to love others. And here's the connection, listen up. God's people are devoted to him, will then love those who are made in his image. Those devoted to God will love those made in his image. So they're not murder. They're not harm family life. They're not steal. They're not lie. They're not covered. Because they're devoted to God and to those made in his image. Devoted to God, loving others. And Israel's obedience to this was not so they could be saved. They were saved. No, Israel's obedience was to show that as God's people, their life was centered on worshipping him. Sorry, the screen seems to be all over. Go two on, okay. So God put the Ten Commandments on a stone tablet, and they were to be kept in the ark, and the ark was at the centre of the camp where the Israelites lived. And the purpose was so that they would remember and think, we're devoted to God, and as those who are devoted to God, we're going to love those who are made in his image, right at the heart of the camp. They were saying we're centred on God. But what happened? Israel disobeyed. They were more devoted to themselves and doing things their way than they were to God. Just like Adam and Eve and you and me. They no longer cared for God's ways. They turned their backs. They're more concerned about being devoted to themselves, doing things their way. And you know what? From an earlier age, we begin to see that actually we're all more devoted to me than we are to God and his way. You know, when a child aged 9 months, and it's being fed by their parent, and the parent's trying to give them little green orbs on a spoon for the first time, and the child goes, and the fight happens, and the peas then end up everywhere. What's happening? Well, I tell you what's not happening at that point. The child is not sitting there thinking to themselves, you know, well, I've tasted everything in God's good creation. I've tasted every vegetable, and those green orbs, those are going to be horrible. I'm just not going to have them. No, they haven't tasted them. They don't know whether they're a good taste or a bad taste. They're not tasting them. I'll tell you what else is not happening. That 9-month-old child hasn't Googled the benefits of the pea. They haven't done their research. They're not going, well, actually, the benefit of the pea is actually not that great, so I don't really need to have it. It's just a waste of calories. You know, what's happening is that child, even at a young age, is saying, you know what, I'm devoted to me. I'm not going to honour and obey my mum and dad, even as they seek to do me good and give me peas. I am not going to do it because I'm devoted to me. And we know that from a young age. And that continues through our lives. So I get to age 9, 10, 11, 12, and now I'm just refusing to tidy my room or do whatever else I'm asked to do. And then I get to the 20s and 30s, and Do you know what I'm not? My 40s and 50s, and do you know what? I'm not going to listen to the wisdom of God's word and his people because I'm devoted to men. I'm going to do things my way. We're asserting our rule and our charge. And do you remember the stone tablet? Well, in many ways, it's a great illustration because that's what was revealed is that the Israelites and us have stony hearts. They were written just stone and hard. Hardened to God and his ways. No love for God. No desire to be devoted to him. And therefore his ways, instead of being a means of grace and an act of love, his commandments became to Israel, well, a burden. It became a duty. It became a religious act. And yet in God's mercy, his commandments were still a means of grace. Because they became like a mirror, showing the Israelites their lack of devotion. If I get this right, I should be able to dazzle someone. It became like a mirror, showing their devotion and their lack of love and their need of a Saviour, that they were able to see themselves for who they truly were. And do you know what God gives us? The Ten Commandments. And they act like a mirror to our hearts. Stand up for me. Just a second. If you can't stand up, that's okay. No pressure. Stand up. Don't worry, it's nothing bad, nothing horrendous. You're not going to be standing for the rest of the service or anything like that. Just stand up. It's all good. Now, here's what I want you to do. I am going to begin to read through the Ten Commandments. When I read through a Ten Commandment that you have broken, I'd like you to sit down. Okay? First commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. If you had ever put another god before Yahweh, if you'd ever tried to do anything else but him, worship him. Okay, we didn't get very far. I mean, you know, we might have to at least honor your parents. Do you see how the Ten Commandments are like a mirror? They're revealing to you actually that you don't love God as you ought to. And I guess if we'd have gone through each one of them, we'd all, if we understood them rightly, we'd be able to say, actually, we've broken every single one. It reveals what we truly are, doesn't it? But we're not utterly devoted to God as we ought. We don't love others as we should. See, the Ten Commandments reflect to us that we're sinners. We're those who have offended the holy God. We're those like the Israelites who have disobeyed. We're like the Israelites. Actually, the truth is, we have stony hearts. And the Ten Commandments point us to our need for Jesus. They point that actually we need a Saviour. And in Jesus we have such a Saviour. Here we go. That Jesus came. And he lived a perfect life. Perfectly obeying every one of the Ten Commandments. And he obeyed every law that flowed from them. And he then paid the punishment that the Lord demanded for disobedience. Even though he never disobeyed. He paid the punishment of death. And he died on a cross that he bore our punishment for breaking God's commandments. And in doing so, not only does it mean that for all those who believe in him and trust in him, they're spared that punishment that they rightly deserve, as we saw this morning, but we're also clothed in his right living. So that now, as we stand before God, we're seen as those who have perfectly obeyed the law, perfectly kept each and every commandment. And he saves us, he rescues us. And just as the Israelites did not obey so they could be saved, but to show that as God's people, their life was centered on worshipping him. So Jesus, in rescuing us, calls us to live lives that show we're utterly devoted to God. To live lives that show we love those made in his image. And it's an expression of his love. And how do I know what that looks like, and what am I to do? Well, Jesus, when asked, remember what that reading we had in Matthew 22? When he's asked what the greatest commandment, what does he say? He says, Jesus says to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. You see, you're to be utterly devoted to God. And then he says, the second is, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. You're to love those made in the image of God. And Jesus at that point is summarizing the Ten Commandments. And so if I want to know how I'm to be utterly devoted to God and to love those made in his image, well, I need to go to that which Jesus summarized, the Ten Commandments. And it gives me the pattern to follow. It reveals how I'm to live. It would be foolish to ignore it. If my wife says to me, Mark, I really love Cadbury's fruit and nut chocolate. And I go to the shop and I'm going to buy my wife a gift. And I think in the back of my mind, Ros loves fruit and nut chocolate. And then I go and buy her a bag of apples. How do you think she might respond? She's not a big fan of apples, so she's not going to be particularly thinking that this is a love thing, is she? Especially since she's told me what she loves. And God has said, look, this is what my people do. This is how you love me. This is how you please me. So here's the pattern. This is how you do it. And then Jesus, throughout the gospel, he then explains what the Ten Commandments look like for us. As it were, the inner significance of them, the core of it. He reveals more of what it actually means. We're struggling with this today. Can you knock it on for me? Over here. No, I've gone too far. There we go. Explains what it looks like. See, now being utterly devoted to God, it's not just no to idols. Jesus actually involves taking up your cross. It's going to involve laying down your life and following Jesus in hardship and suffering. And it's his will and not your will. And actually, what it's going to mean to have God and be utterly devoted to God and to Jesus, it's going to mean putting to death sin. It's going to mean putting to death that part of me that just desires to rule, that, you know, the 9-month-old child. I'm going to put to death that. Put to death that desires to please me. That part of me that I sometimes just desperately cling to, even though I know it's not quite right. My anger problem. My looking at wrong things. My drinking problem. My gossiping. My hoarding. My greed. My pride. And being utterly devoted will mean I'll put all those things to death. Because I want to be utterly devoted to God. And then Jesus also expands what it means to love others as well. So he goes, Matthew 5, you might want to turn up later on. They're all on the sheet. But Matthew 5, 21 to 26, he says, look, to murder now, it's not just to kill someone physically. It's to be angry with them. That where in my rage I kill someone with my words, I belittle them, I humiliate them, I destroy how they feel about themselves with the words that I speak. This is your murder. And to love well, therefore, is to not sin in my anger. And to love my neighbour is not just loving those who I like, or my immediate neighbour, or to love those who like me. Jesus says, loving those who are my enemy. Who hate me, who oppose me, who persecute me, who are different to me, who do things differently to me. Telling lies is not just giving false testimonies. Every word I speak. To love well is to speak the truth in love wisely. And the Sabbath day is not just a day, it's to rest in Jesus every day. To enjoy him and delight in him. See, under Jesus, the law's not abandoned. It's not abolished. That's what he says, Matthew 5:17, and that's just it's fulfilled. It's expanded so that now those who love Jesus, you see, will love his law. So he says in John 14, if you love me, you will obey my words. Here's the thing. Obedience is an indicator to my love for Jesus. Obedience is an indicator to my love for Jesus, to my devotion to him. But you say, how can I love in that way. How can I be that devoted? The Israelites messed up. Well, yeah, but
let's finish with three little things to encourage us to do that.
That actually, because of Jesus, instead of stony hearts, he now gives us fleshy hearts, as it were. Hearts that are alive. Hearts that can love him. Hearts that, he says, have the law, as it were, written on them. It's not external anymore. Not just kind of a stone tablet. Actually, now it's written on my very heart. In other words, I'm going to desire to do it. I'm going to delight to do it. I'm going to want to do it. Because he's given me a heart that can do that and desire to do so. But secondly, I'm given the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God helps me and equips me and enables me to obey. And thirdly, I'm no longer under the condemnation of the law. It doesn't rule over me. Doesn't have authority over me. It can't judge me. The penalty for it has been paid, so that when I mess up, it's not all over. Because I'm under Christ. And his authority and his law and his sacrifice has paid the price and covered me with his right living. So that if you are a follower of Jesus, if you love Jesus, you can seek to be utterly devoted to him and love those made in his image. You have a new heart, and you have the Spirit of God within you. See, the Ten Commandments point me to Jesus and my need of Jesus, and all that he does for me.